Language warning. If you don't like bad language, don't listen.
Moral Dilemma.
Hello, my name is Lincoln James, and welcome to Moral Dilemma, the show that asks where the line is, would you cross it, and why. Joining us this week is Pixel Sift co-host and gaming aficionado Mitch Lowe. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Hey, I think gaming aficionado might be the most official I've ever been addressed, but thank you very much.
You're welcome, man. All right, let's dive straight into our first topic of the day. It's a life or death kind of situation, but you're pretty unlikely to find yourself in it. Mitch Lowe, a baby brown bear has been injected with the serum. It's deadly. It's going to kill it in 30 minutes.
Oh,
the antidote
no.
is in your semen. And to be effective, it can only be administered to the bear's face at a high velocity. But the media are watching.
Oh, no, not the media.
And your actions will be broadcast live on TV and via social media. Mitch, would you come on a baby bear's face in order to save its life?
Oh, so I it's only me.
Yeah.
It's only me.
Well, you're being broadcast live, though.
I'm being broadcast live, so...
But it's up to you. You got to save the day. 99% chance the bear's not going to scratch you. It's a baby brown bear.
Baby brown bear.
Yeah.
Man, so I guess what part is publicized? Like, is it like the, you know, the whole...
It's the act.
The whole act? Like, let's say, like, you know, it's from pants off or...
Yeah, they're going to see you masturbating on a bear's face.
Oh, man. Is it like everything, like facial expression?
Well,
is it like, is it just from the waist down? Are they going to see like, you know?
I'd say it's a fly on the wall kind of situation.
Oh, okay. All right.
Ooh. There's not going to be close-ups and zooms and things like that. It's not going to be like it's directed by, you know, Tarantino or something.
Oh, Is like, so do I need to find arousal in the bear? Like, do I need to find, like, do I get a magazine or something like that? Or
No, it's just you and the bear.
Just me and the bear. So I gotta, like, use my imagination or...
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, man.
You got 30 minutes.
You got 30 minutes.
You can save this bear's life.
Oh, man. I suffer from anxiety. Even if I said yes, it may not even happen.
Yeah?
Yeah, it might not even happen. Get nervous.
What if you were provided with like a magazine and some Viagra?
I think a magazine would help more than Viagra, in the sense because you could definitely like, you know, because Viagra. I think this is more of a comment on Viagra. This is how Viagra works in my head. I've never actually tried it. Allegedly. So I thought always like if you were in the mood, like and you're. You know, you're ready to go, but you can't, you know, get an erection, but you're already in the mood, then Viagra helps just with the mechanical part of it, you know, like the, it gets you there. But
it's the bridge.
If you were not attracted to something, it would give you the equipment, but not necessarily the motivation.
Yeah, like you couldn't reach the end goal.
Yeah, because there's like a difference between having an erection and like being aroused. But then again, let's focus on the bear.
Well, how about I hit you with some facts, see if it changes your mind at all.
I love how you got facts for this. This is
awesome. For sure. Okay, we'll start off with the bear. There are 8 bear species in the world. Uh-huh. 6 of these species, including the giant panda, sun bear, and Andean bear, are currently threatened with extinction.
What about the koala bear? Koala's not a bear. Don't worry
about it. Koala's not a bear. It's a marsupial. Closest living relative is a wombat.
Yep.
So...
We learn things.
Yeah, we sure
here
do.
Here are Moral Dilemma.
I'm learning a lot about you today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all these bears, you know, 6 out of 8 are reaching extinction or threatened with extinction, but the brown bear is not, and this is a baby brown bear.
Yep. So it's not threatened with extinction?
No, it's not.
Okay.
On the other side of this equation is a question of bestiality. I'm not sure if you've considered this.
Okay.
In an extract from Clive Hamilton's book, The Freedom Paradox.
Fantastic.
Hamilton claims the strongest argument against bestiality is the lack of consent. It is not, however, apparent that animals suffer as a result of bestiality or that their interests are greatly impaired. Now, Mitch, it's potentially a heroic act.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Have you thought much about the legal ramifications.
Okay, I didn't actually consider it bestiality because I think isn't the act of bestiality actually fornicating with the animal?
Interesting that you should ask, Mitch. Let me run through what I've found on this.
Okay.
In New South Wales, it is an offence to commit or attempt to commit an act of bestiality. This carries maximum sentence of 14 years imprisonment.
Uh-huh.
Attempting carries 5. And there are similar laws in Victoria, and these usually Victoria and New South Wales, they set precedents for other states. But should ejaculating on a baby bear's face be classified as bestiality? That's essentially what you're asking, right?
Well, I thought, okay, so basically the media knows that I'm doing
evidence.
This for a reason.
Yeah.
Like that there's a solid reason why you're doing this.
Oh, people know. They're going, you know,
it's a baby bear.
He could save this bear's life, but he's going to have to sacrifice it's almost
am I going
like,
to be arrested like immediately after this? Like is that a thing?
Well, here's the
that
thing.
Happens?
It's not exactly clear. There's no definition of bestiality in the Crimes Act. However, uh-huh. there is a case law that states it is any form of sexual intercourse with an animal. Penetration is not required
right.
for an offence as long as there is behaviour that can be defined as some form of sexual intercourse. As such, both men and women can commit an offence under this section. So returning to the original question, Mitch, does this change your mind at all?
Okay. Okay, brown bear, not endangered.
Not endangered.
All right, to be honest with you, not endangered? Probably not, no. It's probably not worth it. I could take the Twitter hate.
You were considering it though, right?
I guess I was considering it, but the fact of the matter is I was considering my ability to do it. The magazine would be what I was attracted to at the time. So I wouldn't consider it bestiality at that point.
Mm.
Then because like if you were like really attracted to the bear, and I was like, yep, let's do it. Just because it's a bear, I'm all in. But since it's not endangered, nah, it can die. Sorry,
you're
bear.
You're going to kill the bear.
Yeah, get rid of it. Sorry, Paddington.
Because you're essentially killing the bear.
Essentially killing the bear, yeah. Then I dedicate my entire life to finding the person that poisoned the bear, and I'd kill them.
That's cold.
Yeah. First of all, the dude killed a bear.
Yeah.
Then embarrassed me.
Yeah, no, that's, I know, revenge is best served cold, I guess.
No, I wouldn't kill them. I'd find the poison that he ejected the bear with, and I'd eject that person with that poison. And then they would
then,
need
then
to find...
Then you get a bear to come on their
yeah,
face.
Yeah, so then they would need to find someone else. Oh, no, but then the antidote would be in me.
The antidote would be in you.
Oh.
Then you'd have to come on his face.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Then would it be gay at that point?
Wow. There's always that line.
No, but I'd need another magazine for that.
I don't know. I think you're
well,
starting
to overthink
this a bit.
At least it wouldn't be bestiality.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
We're already three stages deep in this.
I think we've gone full circle.
We're full circle.
All right. Well, it just so happens that during the week, I dropped down to Fremantle to see what some of the locals had to say. Let's check it out.
Yes, I would totally save the bear.
Why?
Because I love animals. And who gives a shit what people think? Like,
I don't know. I think I'd have to look out for my public image and not come on the bear's face. Sorry, that bear's gonna have to die.
I'd do it as long as I close my eyes.
No.
Why not?
I don't really care about the bear. There's plenty more bears around.
Yes.
Why?
Why not? It's not going to hurt me.
No, I wouldn't.
Why?
Well, because I don't know the bear. Would it buy me a drink first?
No. I don't think bears are that valuable. Well, not valuable, but if it was like, would you come on a koala's face to get rid of all the chlamydia that it has, I would. But no, not for one bear.
So it'd have to be more bears?
Yeah, more bears.
Yeah, I'd do that.
So you come on a bear's face?
I'd come on a bear's
even
face.
Even though the media... Why didn't you
like it? Yeah, of course. What do you got to lose? I'd grow a moustache, dye my hair so no one recognises me.
I'll come on a bear's face, man.
Why?
Well, it saves the bear's life. Yeah, bloody hell, I'll come on a bear's face. I've got no shame. I'll talk to a human. If there's a fucking baby that needs to come on its face, I'll come on a baby's face.
Brutal.
I like how all these people get to remain nameless. And I'm sitting here talking to you. Well, like, I think I find it interesting how most of the women said yes to that.
Compassion, maybe? More compassion?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Time for your second question. Say you could again wave your little magic wand, and when you did, animals around the world suddenly gained the ability to speak and be spoken to, and they understood.
Fantastic.
In whatever human dialect is native to their area, of course. So, okay. Say it was France, the sheep would speak French. But as a catch, this leads to governments around the world to ban the consumption of meat and meat products. Would you give up meat if you could talk to the animals?
I like meat a lot. Okay. All right. So animals can talk. I wave the wand, animals can talk.
Pretty much.
I think as soon as you can relate to animals on a human level, you're probably not going to want to eat them anyway.
Well, like, you don't know. Animals might be total bastards. Yeah. You might want to eat all of them just to be like,
oh, man.
Don't mess with us.
That would kill a lot of, that would kill a lot of industries, especially here in Australia.
It's a tough one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I guess it's like I've always considered talking to animals to be a really cool thing to be able to do. Like, I used to watch Wild Thornberries when I was a kid, and I thought like Eliza and that was like had one of the coolest superpowers ever. Like, she talked to animals.
Yeah.
They never discussed this concept in that show though, which I thought that would have been interesting if they touched on it. So all right. So they talk. They get it. Are they gonna want like representation in Parliament?
Well, that's a question of rights. I think we should inject some facts into the debate.
Nice.
First of all, it's important to ask whether animals might one day speak to us anyway. Futurologist Ian Pearson recently predicted that by 2050, it will be possible to implant devices into our pets and other animals to give them the ability to speak to us. If technology could allow animals to express future aspirations, like I want to play with the ball or whatever, and they could also express that they value their lives, so, you know, please don't kill me kind of thing. It is possible that this technology could stir a deeper compassion for animals killed for meat. So this could happen, say, 2050.
Man, okay, so 2050, that is also within our lifetime.
Now, you were talking about rights, right?
Yep.
In terms of animal rights, eating animals, it poses two moral kind of problems. Is it wrong in principle to raise and kill animals so that human beings can eat meat, and does it stop being wrong if the processes involved are carried out in a humane kind of way? Some of the reasons our vegetarian and vegan friends oppose the eating of meat are that they believe this does violate the animal's rights. If you accept that animal does have rights, animal rights activists argue no matter how humanely an animal is treated in the process, raising and killing it for food remains morally wrong. On the other hand, some human beings don't believe animals have rights, but do think that animals have important interests that should not be violated, such as the basic interest like survival.
All right. So basically, let's take a look at it from an animal's perspective, right? Mm. An animal really doesn't care. Like, I mean, if you think about it, like, for example, like, the animal kingdom would not be pissed off that I didn't come on a baby bear's face.
Yeah, well, that's a...
Right?
How do you know, though?
That's true.
It's just a feeling, though. But an animal,
I guess they don't really care if things go extinct. Like, if an animal was to decide whether it would go extinct or not, it wouldn't be able to comprehend that. But I guess we don't know.
Is it self-aware enough?
Yeah.
So
what I'm trying to ask with the rights thing is, like, do we end up with Zootopia at this point? Like, do I swish the wand and like Zootopia happens, or
you don't know? That's the thing. But do you actually want to be able to hear animals talk? Do you think it's worth giving up eating meat?
What wouldn't, like, even if an animal could speak English, I'm not sure that we'd even be able to understand it, because an animal wouldn't think like us. It wouldn't relate two ideas together in the same way, because, like, for example, some people think that animals actually perceive time in different ways. Like, for example, like something like a fly that has extremely fast reflexes. I don't have any material in front of me, so I can't actually confirm any of this. But there are certain studies that, like, for example, cats, if they have like really fast reflexes, people have theorized that they perceive time in a different way to us. so they might perceive it slower than us. The also, like, a physicist will always tell you that time is relative. Like, for example, if we can look at it in humans, actually, there are certain theories, and also, honestly, I cannot back this up. Lincoln, you got to back me up later. So the reason why children are more impatient than us is because let's take 5-minute chunks. So sure. If you ask a child at the age of, let's say, 5 years old to wait for 5 minutes, since time is relative, that 5 minutes is actually a longer percentage of their life that they have to wait, which is why kids don't like, I mean, people theorize that that's why kids are very impatient, because 5 minutes, since time is relative, is literally longer to them. So taking that back to animals, if time is relative and how they see it, what other things are also relative, like abstract ideas, would be completely different to what we think.
Thinking about all this, you're thinking about the rights of the animal, you're thinking about what they'd actually say and whether that would have an effect. How does this affect your answer?
Regardless of the fact that I wasn't allowed to eat meat anymore, I think as soon as like a cow started talking to me and articulating its thoughts verbally, I think I would not want to eat it anymore.
So would you do it?
That would definitely take a lot of options off the dinner table for me. Am I still allowed to eat eggs?
because eggs...
That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Still allowed to drink milk?
Probably not eggs. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to go full vegan, but eggs are like the embryo, so...
Yeah, that'd be like...
That would probably rule that out. But for, milk and things like that, you're not eating its young.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're not eating its young and you're not eating it...
So this is like every animal, are we talking insects and things like that?
Are insects classified as animals?
Oh, I guess so, yeah. All right. I'm going to say no. Mainly because I think it would be really creepy if, like, say I'm lying in bed and a mosquito in your room when you're lying in bed is already bad enough. But let's say it's, like, coming into your room, it's like, hey, Mitch, I'm going to suck your blood.
They really are.
That
kind of
thing.
Yeah.
And it would be like, I'm done. I regret everything. This sucks.
Absolutely.
I think, all right, no.
Yeah.
We're good. Yeah, I'm done. Nah.
Moral dilemma.
No. No, no. Well, black meat, so.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, you don't want to be able to speak to your dog? Or
not really, no. That's fine. I speak to it anyway, so it doesn't answer back to me.
Yeah.
It's good. I like it that way.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I couldn't deal with it. Like, I would... Yeah, I'd go with their rights, their feelings.
Oh, jeez. Nah, I don't know. I like eating animals. I like animals too. I don't know. It might be too weird having a conversation with an animal. I could never eat an animal if it could talk.
yeah, that'd be cool. I would be able to give up meat if I could talk to them.
Just because you want to hear animals talk?
Pretty much. I don't think it goes any deeper than that. There's no like ethical issues about that. Like, it's not like, oh, just because they're talking all of a sudden they're intelligent. No, it's more like, I reckon they'd just be cool.
I'd rather things stay how they are and we can continue to eat meat.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's healthy and it keeps us going. It keeps us living.
Done.
Yeah?
Done. I'd easily be a fucking vegan for my dog to be able to talk to me or my cat. That's a benefit that's out of this world. Like, that's fucking mental.
All right, we're 2/3 of the way through the show, which means we've got time for one more. Mitch, my question to you, say you were able to wave a magic wand and end the impacts of dangerous climate change.
Yep.
So human beings no longer have a negative impact and the hole in the ozone layer, it just disappears. But in order to do so, you'd have to sacrifice human beings ever being able to find or create a cure for cancer. Would you wave your magic wand?
I guess the initial question is, does everyone know I have this choice? Does the world know?
No, they do not.
Interesting. Well, I guess currently we don't have a cure for cancer, do we, right now?
No.
So I guess we'll just lock the state, like lock the world in a state of no cure for cancer, but fix climate change.
Yeah, we have things to treat cancer and to kind of... lengths in people's life cycles. Some people do recover, but it's no like absolute fix.
So if I, let's say I deny the ozone layer, will a cure for cancer be found like tomorrow? If I say, screw it, leave the world, it's broken.
If you don't wave your wand, everything remains the same.
Oh, okay.
So you can wave your wand and fix, you know, the climate change problem, or you can just leave things as they are.
It just comes down to a point of, like, is a cancer cure only a matter of time, or is the world's destruction an only a matter of time kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
It's difficult because I think the possibility of a cure may not be worth a sure option, like a sure answer. Like, it may not be worth it, in my opinion. I think I would probably wave the magic wand, to be honest with you. As much as it would pain me to do that, yeah, it's rough. If I wave my magic wand, it's not going to doom everyone that falls sick. Mm. It won't doom them immediately, will it?
No,
like, we'll just stuck in this perpetual state of treatment instead of cure.
Well, let me put this to you, Ian. Do you know how big the current world population is?
I think it's like 6 billion, is it?
That's 7.5 billion.
Oh,
yeah.
I was way off.
And if you want to track this, you can go to worldometers.info/worldpopulation. They have a live tracker. It's sad but true. The number on this tracker, the clock, it keeps going up and down. However, the number still manages to grow, meaning that there are less people dying in the world than there are being born each day. According to the Union for International Cancer Control, currently 7.6 million people die from cancer worldwide every year, and the number of cases is expected to rise by 70% over the next couple of decades. In 2012, estimated 56 million people died worldwide, so by my calculations, that puts the percentage of people dying from cancer at around 13.5% of all deaths annually. Does that change your perspective much?
I think it does, actually, yeah. So it is like a surefire fix, right? If I wave a magic wand and it's like, all right, climate change is no longer a problem.
Yeah, a click of the fingers, everything's sweet.
I think, but then to take away the possibility of saving all those people, I think it would be rather selfish. I think I've actually changed my answer.
But yeah. How many people would die from climate change?
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, it could eliminate everyone, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, NASA claim the temperatures, they're going to continue to rise. Seasons will be longer, affecting ecosystems and agriculture. Changes in precipitation, so where and when rainfall occurs. Hurricanes will become stronger and more intense. The sea level will rise by 1 to 4 feet by 2100.
So 2100, that's roughly 8 years from now, right? Wait, 2100, yes,
yeah,
eight years from now. That's within a lifetime. I don't know. The personal suffering, I think, is something that I would like to stop, and that the personal suffering seems to come more from cancer. And of someone very quite close to me is actually suffering quite a bit right now. And I think that it doesn't just affect someone in an instant. It affects everyone around them and them for a long period of time. Climate change is something that the human race will have to deal with together when it happens. Mm. When right now there are a lot of personal and some people, even though it like does affect a wide community, it affects those communities individually. But if climate change was to ever become a serious problem, I think that humanity would probably band together and try and fix it.
So final answer?
Final answer, not waving the wand.
Not waving the wand.
Well, leave that wand where it is.
It's a valid answer. And for anyone listening out there who disagrees, feel free to comment on our Facebook page. Simply go to facebook.com/moral dilemma. Have your say. Here's what the peeps on the streets of Fremantle had to say.
I'd say yes, because there's no guarantee we'll find a cure for cancer anyway. We might as well fix one of them.
No. I'd rather find a cure for cancer. It seems to kill a lot of people.
I would do it because the world is a beautiful place, and yeah, sure, like it might reach a so-called equilibrium in time after everything's cooked or frozen or whatever, and people would die anyway. Even if they weren't dying of cancer, they'd be dying of not being able to eat or freezing to death or burning to death. So yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Because if we don't have an Earth that's healthy, then what's the point of trying to find a cure for cancer? We're going to have no world.
Yes.
Why?
What was the question?
Some pretty heartfelt replies from the good folk of Fremantle there. I was interested as to why some people answered differently to others, so I actually hunted down Dr. Helen Davis, a senior lecturer on psychology at Murdoch University. to try and pull apart some of their replies.
A lot of people replied that they don't have any shame or care about the opinions of others. However, many people felt that they had to protect their reputation. Do you believe some people would do anything to protect their reputation?
Okay, I'm going to make a subtle point here, which is when you're asking people about hypotheticals and getting them to make to deal with moral dilemmas like this, you're actually tapping into kind rather a different phenomenon from what they would actually do in that situation. Mm. There's actually quite a big difference between people's moral behaviour and their talk about it. Okay, and one of the things that's come through pretty clearly in the research is that probably one of the worst predictors of what they're actually going to do is what they say they would do. Okay. Nevertheless, people love talking about moral issues, and the argument goes that the reason they do that is it's kind of like wearing a T-shirt that says, I'm a kind, compassionate person, or I'm a really honourable person, or whatever it happens to be that you want to display to other people. So in terms of the answers people are giving you, read the T-shirt. So for some people, they want to show that they're brave, fearless individuals who don't care what anyone else thinks about them. Whereas other people would say, look, that's just totally inappropriate behaviour and there's no way I would be engaging in it. Almost certainly there would be some individual differences in personality that might relate to the sort of answer that you would get there.
Mm.
So some of the things that are probably related, if you're asking people about being on social media doing something incredibly embarrassing, quite possibly if you're an introverted kind of person, you would rather die than have that happen to you. It's a very negative sort of thing to have happen. Whereas if you're more of an extrovert, in fact, you might be thinking, that wouldn't be so bad, having a lot of people looking at me, that would be no problem at all.
A lot of people replied to this question, would you give up meat if you could talk to the animals, by reflecting on the rights of the animal more so than their desire to hear them speak. Mm-hmm. Why do you think some people are so compassionate? What drives compassion?
Well, that's another one that we see quite strong individual differences in. That there's something called tough-mindedness versus tender-mindedness that's a relatively stable trait that people carry around with them. And for some people, they're just very much more driven by compassion and concern for the feelings of others, which may or may not include animals, depending on their beliefs about animals. And for other people, it's quite the opposite, that they're very uncompassionate. They're much more likely to go, no, the logic says this, so we're going to do this.
A lot of people chose not to end dangerous climate change in order to keep alive the hope of curing cancer. This was predominantly so because it was something that affected them or someone close to them on a personal level. Do you think human beings are instinctively selfish and thus fail to tackle bigger issues until it's too late?
I would say that there certainly is a good thick layer of selfishness in most people's decisions most of the time, and that would be normal rather than abnormal. I mean, taken to an extreme, although we're certainly invited to be altruistic and we're rewarded for being altruistic, in reality, if you behave like that in real life, people take advantage of you very rapidly. So it's certainly not to your advantage to be like that in a rigid kind of way. That's one comment I would make about that. The other thing too is that when we're talking about something like cancer, it's quite hard to imagine any kind of upside to it. It is easy to visualise all the horrible imagery that goes along with cancer, so it's quite easy to see that that's a really unpleasant thing, and yes, that would be good to wrap up, especially if you do have personal experience with it. Whereas something like climate change, it's quite hard to build up a nice, clear mental image of what that is. So it's quite an abstract idea for people, and even if they sort of know intellectually that it's a bad thing and it's going to be a big problem, it feels like a less tackleable problem, I guess.
Senior lecturer on psychology at Murdoch University, Dr. Helen Davis there. That is all the time we have for today's program. Mitch, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Always happy to be a part of a Lincoln production.
No, cheers,
even
buddy.
Though I might regret it about 2 hours from now when my mom listens to it, but you know.
We all regret things. Before we go, though, I'd like to pose one more question to those of you listening out there in between the lines, and it goes like this. If you could end all war and have lasting world peace, but the world could never again have democracy, would you do it? My name's Lincoln James, and you've been listening to Moral Dilemma.